I'm Demae Roberts, stage and studio. We're listening to music from the 1964 film version of The Night of the Iguana by Tennessee Williams. The score was composed by Benjamin Frankel. We're going to hear more about Tennessee Williams as we talk about the Asylum Lab today. It's a place where professional actors can explore classical theater in a gym-like setting. That's the brainchild of director Elizabeth Huffman. We'll talk with Huffman and two actors and a director in her Asylum Lab. And we'll also hear about their upcoming showcase of Tennessee Williams plays. So stay with us. This is Stage and Studio. I thought that was really pretty, so I wanted to add that. I'm Demae Roberts. I'm so excited. With me in the KBOO studio are director Elizabeth Huffman and creator of the Asylum Lab. Welcome back.
Thank you for having us.
Good to have you back. And with her, our actor Skeeter Green. Hello.
Hello, Demae.
And welcome.
Thank you.
James Dixon, welcome.
Good morning.
First timers, I'm so glad to have you both here. Oh, you've been here before, Skeeter?
Mm-hmm.
My memory is going. I need more gig space in my hard drive. So tell me when you were here last time.
I was here with Renee Mitchell when she was doing her project.
So, oh my gosh. Well, you know what? Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome all to Stage and Studio. Elizabeth, you've been working on the Asylum for over a year now, right? I remember when you were starting this last summer.
Well,
you were talking about it.
I was talking about it. I didn't actually start the Asylum until February of this year, but it has been cooking.
It's been in your brain for a while.
For a long
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I remember you talking about your new theater company,
That's
Chain
right.
Reaction, that you were
right.
creating. And so this is the start of that, isn't it?
This is. Yes, it is. It's kind of a two-tiered idea.
It's very smart to do it that way. Well, quite often people say, I'm starting a theater company, and then you do a production, and then it goes away. You know? That's quite often what happens.
A big deal to start a new theater company, and I've been very carefully considering, you know, whether I want to add one more theater company to the Portland scene.
I totally feel
right,
that vibe.
Right. And it's taking me a long time because I want to do it the way I really envision it, which is a company of wide diversity and the kinds of plays that I want to do. So The Asylum is a different thing that is connected to my company, but for the actors involved in The Asylum, their choice is to just be members of a gymnasium.
Right, and it's like step one, you
yes.
know, find out the acting pool, create
right.
an acting pool, and you describe it as a gymnasium for working actors, and I had a hard time with that description, actually, but, you know, now I've sort of turned it around, and I think it's not a laboratory where you experiment. It's a gymnasium where people with skills work out, much like you're training for the next event, right, like athletes. Do.
It's actually both. I think that there is an opportunity to deepen your craft as a classical actor, and I try to bring in guest directors who are moderating sessions, who can give you insights, deeper insights into a particular genre of classical theater, or just because they've been doing it for a great deal of time on the equity stages, around the country. So by exposing ourselves and challenging ourselves to very challenging material weekly, we develop our own technique of approaching these different kinds of materials. And each one style is knowing what kind of play you're in, and in the vast arena of classical theater.
And adapting to it.
And
right?
adapting to yeah. it and learning more right. about it, because not everybody is going to be an expert.
And, you know, theater is so subjective. You know, mm-hmm. one different people have different perspectives on the same play.
That's right.
Yeah.
Many. And
yeah.
they're always valuable. They can always just add, sometimes there are things that a director would say one week that will crack open the scene for you. And another director will come in and completely 360 that. And so it challenges you to really deeply examine the work.
Well, there's no easy answer, is there? Mm-hmm. So what type of classical training classical works are you exploring in this skill building experimental work?
There is no real limit to, you can explore the Greeks, masks, commedia, you can do Restoration, Shakespeare, of course, Shakespeare's contemporaries, Ibsen, Shaw, Chekhov. Even up to the 20th century, there are playwrights who, like Tennessee Williams, who's an American classic playwright. I would go so far as to say that complex language-driven plays like Angels in America challenge an actor on fundamental levels of dealing with language. So language-based plays. The definition of classical has always been a troubling one.
It really changes and evolves, doesn't it? Mm. And I'm glad you're open to the more contemporary works like Tennessee Williams, mm-hmm. because his language is very poetic.
Right.
But you could even say that about hip hop. You know, you could say that about
absolutely,
you know, plays that are written now mm-hmm. with poetic language.
Right. And one of the things that I'm hoping that the Asylum will do is devised work based on classical material and allow ourselves to create some new way in, which works in different languages and just different ideas, movement, possibly all of the above.
Well, you know, it reminds me in many ways of monologue and scene study that mm-hmm. one does in college, right, mm-hmm. where you can experiment with it, you know, and you can play with it a lot more.
Right. The difference is this is not an acting class. The people that I've invited into the Asylum are already professional actors. They've had their training, some of them more than others in classical theater, simply because of exposure or the opportunities didn't present
themselves.
Well,
that's what I was thinking.
Exactly.
Because, you know, there's a lot of physical and vocal work that goes into classical work that you don't necessarily get in modern works.
No, you don't. No. And so I think that it's important to be able to examine from all walks of life, different levels as well. We have our veteran actors. We have some 19-year-old actors. We run the gamut.
Well, I think that's important.
I do too.
It's really important. I know you're volunteering your time right now with the Asylum, and actors pay a small fee. I mean, all of you are volunteering your time. You're paying a small fee each month to cover the theater rental mm-hmm. for the lab work. So the Asylum lab work, and I know it's part of creating a casting pool for the new company that you're forming, Chain Reaction. What is Chain Reaction?
Chain Reaction is actually what it sounds like. I want to do
it sounds
plays.
Like an explosion.
Exactly. Okay. It is. It's I want to do plays where you take, for example, you take an ancient Greek play. I would say Luis Alfaro's Oedipus El Rey is a perfect example of a chain reaction.
I love that play, by the way.
Thank you.
It's
me
beautiful.
Too. But it took an ancient Greek play, sifted it and clashed it with a contemporary spin in a prison in Kern County, California, and reinvented itself. And I like revisionist theater. I also like taking different cultures and languages and mixing them up in the same play. So it's really about creating explosions and
creating
new ways
more opportunities in. Too, mm-hmm. because, I mean, mm-hmm. obviously for actors of color, that is an important issue. You know, if you think of a certain classical play, let's say Shakespeare, as a certain mm-hmm. way, you know, how do you get out of that thinking, you know? And revamping it, reinventing it is one way to get out of that box of who should play
I think
Hamlet or who should play, you know, Ophelia.
But I think theater has been really moving forward in issues of diversity. Every theater in town is trying to address this. I'm really more about taking the entire melting pot and creating a play where we're all in the same mm-hmm. world, and whatever that world is something we've all agreed to. It doesn't matter what nationality or color or even language you speak.
Well, you're listening to Stage and Studio, and I'm Dee Mae Roberts with my guest Elizabeth Huffman, the creator of Asylum, which is presenting a showcase of Tennessee Williams plays on July 11th and 12th at 7:30 p.m. at Hip Bone Studio. Two of the actors in the lab, the Asylum, are Skeeter Green and James Dixon. Skeeter and James, I want to bring you into this conversation. How long have each of you been involved in the Asylum lab? Skeeter, you want to start?
Well, I was invited in from the beginning, and actually I was there the first day, the first time that we all got together, and it was just I have to say it was really amazing. It's not often that as African American, and I think you'll agree, James, that mm-hmm. that we get a chance to walk into a room where there's more than one of us.
Yeah, I think it's an important point to be made there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And to see other people as well, to see Asians and to see Latinos and to see, it was
that
really
is unusual.
Extraordinary.
Yes.
And we were blown away by it, blown away by the opportunity that we would get to work with all of us together was really extraordinary.
There's something freeing about that, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
You know? Well, it's a safe space at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the thing that's significant. I think that's significant about Asylum that I really like is you get the pressure of being in an audition and you're like, well, am I getting it right? And in Asylum, it's not about getting it right. It's Elizabeth Huffman brought up a great point that stuck with me a while back. She said you have to love the work, and it is about the work. You can make mistakes, and everyone's there to support you. And it's really hard. As an actor of color, it's really hard to feel like you belong sometimes,
and that you can make mistakes,
because
you have to be a certain level to get the job, right?
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
You have to keep that because mm-hmm. I have to say, actors of color aren't allowed to make mistakes. They're not.
It does seem that way.
Yeah.
It's really one of the great things that Elizabeth has created with this space is the ability to do roles that you would never do. So, in other words, there's gender changing some of the most beautiful scenes that we've experienced as a collective in this group is to have the one that sticks out to me is the Macbeth scene that was done by Brian DeMar Jones.
Oh, that's right.
And Diane
Condra,
where Diane played Macbeth and Brian DeMar played Lady Macbeth.
Love it.
It was gorgeous. It just took our breath away. It was absolutely gorgeous.
So you're opening up minds, too, as well as the opportunities.
Well,
right,
I'm
Elizabeth?
Asking the actors to not limit themselves.
Yeah, I love that.
And to just keep, and to go with what their heart wants to do.
Well, what are mm-hmm. you, what is your heart wanting to do for the Tennessee Williams? Are you both in the Tennessee Williams
place? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so mm-hmm. James, what are you playing? Who are you playing?
We're doing my scene partner, Arlena Barnes. We're doing scene three from The Glass Menagerie. I'm playing Tom and she's playing Amanda. It's that
wonderful.
the big, huge fight scene between Tom and Amanda. And you know what's been great about working on Tennessee Williams? I had to get some very tight, extensive Shakespeare training from Elizabeth, which was mind-opening because I can. What's great about Tennessee Williams is everything's there for you. And you can act on the line, so to speak. And I've learned a lot about myself just navigating Tennessee Williams as a playwright in relation to who Tom is as a person in the play. And it's been very, it's been a very enriching process. So
have you had to make any adjustments to any of the plantation references, you know, and anything like that?
Well, not really. There's not, that scene in particular is kind of isolated from that.
Yeah,
I mean, of course, that all plays into the character.
Right,
but
right.
No, that scene, we're only doing that one scene. So we're just focusing what's in that in particular.
So when I said adjustments, what were you thinking of?
Well, that was the first thing I said. Amanda's pretty racist in the first scene. And, you know, with the black woman talking about, you know, it's just the context was, you know, didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But we're
How did you adjust that?
We took that into account. She's a woman of, she's not a woman of privilege, but it's perceived privilege in her mind. And
past privilege.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we just focused on that and added that in with the scene. So I think that worked pretty well with what we have going on.
Good.
There's
well,
also, I should say, three other scenes from Glass Menagerie and one of them in Spanish.
Oh, wonderful. Right. Yeah, I remember that. So, Skeeter, what are you performing?
Well, I'm in Perfect Analysis by a Parrot.
I haven't heard of that play.
It's I hadn't either, but it's a beautiful little 15-minute comedy.
Okay.
And it's being divided up among four actors, including Elizabeth, Shelley B. Shelley, and Chris Ricaro are also playing. We're sharing the roles. And then what's interesting about Analysis of a Parrot is the two characters, Bessie and Flora, also appear in Rose Tattoo, which they appear in the play Rose Tattoo as well, which we're doing a scene from. And
Hallie.
Oh,
and
yes.
Patricia Alvitas.
Yeah.
Are doing that.
And that's going to be really, really gorgeous.
Well, it sounds fun. I'm looking forward to that. Also, I want to reiterate, I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. Also part of the Asylum Lab is bringing guest directors to work with the actors. And one of the directors is standing by on the phone right now, Alana Byington, who joins us now. Are you there, Alana?
I am here.
Hey, Alana. I haven't talked to you in a while. You're a veteran director who's worked with Portland Theaters for a couple of decades now. I hope I'm not, you know, dating you. What brought you to volunteer time to direct for The Asylum?
Well, I'm always trying to learn, that's for sure. And I'm learning from watching other directors work with scenes, because I attend a lot of the, even if I'm not working, and getting to see the process. You know, I think being in the room where other people are working is something we rarely get to do. And it's actually, you know, how many times have I wanted to be a fly on the wall in a rehearsal room?
And you are in this in this situation. What have you observed? You know, you say you are always trying to learn. What have you observed with what's been going on at the asylum?
Well, it's really clarified for me that what you need to focus on in every situation, but in this situation you must, is that what's important is the essence of the character. And the relationship that they're in. You say, well, okay, you wouldn't necessarily ever play this role, but let's get you to where you understand where this person is coming from, what their journey is, what their hurts are, what their strengths are, and how are you going to go about getting what you want? Just finding out who the person is and not worrying about the rest of it. And it's really, it creates a discipline that you have to be really clear that that's what's important.
Are you directing a scene for the Tennessee Williams Showcase?
I have assisted on a few of them, just giving some feedback. But Rose Tattoo is the one I've spent most time on.
And so what will you take from this? I mean, often I think everybody needs, you know, professional actors, professional directors, as you said, everybody needs to keep honing their skills, you know, keep honing their craft. What do you think that you've gotten the most out of this experience?
Well, I think so far I'm really trying to focus. I'm a long-form director. I'm used to having a whole rehearsal period to try stuff.
Right.
And being in a forum where you have to really clarify what are the things that are going to help in this form, which is a short form. And it's been great watching people who are good at that, like Elizabeth and Brenda Hubbard and others, better than me. it's a discipline for me to focus on what can I do now that is going to make a difference. That's really it.
Well, it sounds very positive. Alana, I'm going to ask this of Elizabeth too, but I often hear from directors that, especially when talking about actors of color, that they don't think it's the place of a theater company or, let's say, professional theater company to invest in local actors and to train them. Mm. And this is something that has been a stumbling block for me. Do you think that there is a responsibility for theater companies to offer, you know, that kind of training when it comes to homegrowing and keeping actors of color here in Portland?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know if I would call it a responsibility. I think that it would be to their benefit.
Well, that's what I think too. But you know, often I hear there's a distancing from that, like, oh, we can't take that on, or we, you know, that's not our mission, or something. You know, I hear that from a lot of different companies.
I wasn't even aware of that. I'm a hired hand, so I haven't been on the inside for a long time.
Well, you know, I think it's an important thing that you're doing, that all the people at the asylum, sounds like you're all in the asylum or something, but the asylum lab itself.
And we're quite mad, all of us.
I think you have to be in theater to a certain degree.
You do.
Alana, what else are you directing in the coming months? Anything you want to give a shout out for before we say goodbye?
Oh, sure. I'm doing a show in the next coho season, Playhouse Creatures. Next.
Oh, okay. When is that happening?
Opens March 17th.
Okay. Next year. So give me, you know, remind me, would you, Alana, when that comes up?
I will.
Okay. Well, it's been great talking with you. Thank you for joining us on Stage and Studio.
Thank you.
So, Elizabeth, I want to toss that out to you, too, because I tend to talk to a lot of different companies, and I tend to ask them that specific question about, you know, hiring actors of color that are local, and I often get, oh, but they're not trained enough. How do we get past that?
You offer training. You give them an opportunity to become better at their craft. You extend your hand and say, hey, I really want to work with you. None of the actors in the lab are beginners. They've all been on stages all over Portland. And what amazes me is when people come into see either my plays or come into the asylum and they go, who are all these people?
I know, that's what
and
I get too.
And I'm like, well, what do you mean, who are these people?
They
live
here.
And they've been performing here
right.
for a long time. Have you ever graced the, you know, walked in the doors of Milagro and seen some of our Latino actors?
But they have to grow them too.
That's
you know?
Right. You
yeah.
know, I mean, so...
So what is the deal with that? I'm agreed that, you know, with you wholeheartedly, but I think I often think it's a particular lens that theaters look through.
You know, is it the MFA? Is it the resume? Is it, you know, because you're from New York or LA? And I know you've worked in both places, and there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, are you looking at that on paper first? You know,
I don't. I go
but
and
not
see
you,
a
but
lot,
I'm saying
yeah,
other
right.
theaters.
I think it's really important for theater directors, and especially artistic directors, to get out and see theater and to go to as many places as possible because that's where I find
and
my
many
actors.
Don't.
No,
many
they
don't.
Many of them don't have time, yeah,
right.
but I make time.
Right. Well, you have 38 Asylum actors working on the two-day showcase, July 11th and 12th. And so we've talked about some of the scenes we can expect. I mean, here's a list of them. You've got, well, you know, you've got Eccentricities of a Nightingale on July 11th, Summer and Smoke, Rose Tattoo, Glass Menagerie, Kingdom of Earth. I had another one I haven't heard of. Mm-hmm. Sweet Bird of Youth, A Streetcar Named Desire, Orpheus Descending. On July 12th, you've got Bars and Verandas. Oh, that's the theme.
Yes.
With scenes from A Perfect Analysis of a Parrot with Skeeter Green here in the and Elizabeth too. And in the bar of the Tokyo Hotel. I hadn't heard of that one.
Possibly
either.
One of my favorite plays that
really?
I will definitely direct for
we
a chain
We can all
reaction.
Learn from this. Right. Small Craft Warnings, Night of the Iguana, Suddenly Last Summer. All shows are at 7:30 p.m. at the Hip Bone Studio. That's located at 1847 East Burnside, number 104. It's kind of like off a little bit of Burnside. I just want to warn people that. So look for a building and then go towards it on that area. Admission is free, but donations are accepted. And seating is limited, so make reservations by emailing ehdirectact@yahoo.com. And that is the Tennessee Williams at the Asylum. Oh, did you want to add to
I do else? Want to add because not only are we doing the plays of Tennessee Williams, but in between all of the scenes, about 14 or 15 actors are playing Tennessee Williams. And they are talking to the audience from his memoirs,
oh,
his poems,
oh, okay.
his the forewords to his plays. They're introducing the plays or the themes or the ideas
I
that
love
run through
that.
It. And it's really fun to mm-hmm. see. And we have a, well, you'll see. There's it's a really fun way of looking, examining the man 360.
So you've really created an evening.
It's a pastiche. Yeah,
an
it's
evening,
a really
a full evening that
two different
flows.
Evenings. Yeah,
two different. Actually,
evenings.
Two different shows.
Completely two different shows and different actors on.
You're
each
not
night.
Ambitious at all.
Oh
are you?
No, you know. Well, and I have to also say this is bare bones work in progress. This is not a fully realized show. We've all been working on these scenes in the lab. We have stick furniture. We're not trying to.
But see, I love that.
Pretend yeah. to be a big a production. This is us examining and continuing to work.
Labor
we may
love.
Ask. For line. Who knows?
Well, you know, I think that's exciting. And often, you know, sometimes you want to go to big spectacle productions, but a lot of times you just want to see the actors mm-hmm. act, you know? Mm-hmm. You just want to see them do that.
That's right.
That's all you want to see.
And that's all you're going to
see. So I want, in the time remaining, I just wanted you all to give a shout out for any other upcoming projects. So Elizabeth, you want to start? Anything else that's coming up for you?
Yeah, I've got some really exciting news. I've written a play called The... I've done a revisionist work. It's our first co-production, Chain Reaction and Signet Theater. Luanne Modovan will be directing me in a one-woman show
Yay.
Called The Reimagining of French Grey by the Displaced Woman. I play Marie Antoinette and a Syrian refugee, and we are traveling to Germany in the fall to perform in three different locations.
I like that you explore your Middle Eastern background quite
yes.
often.
Yes,
you know,
well,
that's important.
This is a really interesting new play, and we'll hopefully be doing it in Portland for three performances before we leave.
Good, good. Mm-hmm. James, anything else coming up for you?
I am waiting to answer the call.
So you've got something that might be happening.
Well,
but...
no, you know, we do our work and then we wait until they call. I do have some stuff, some smaller projects coming up. I'm doing a show called Exoplanetary, which is a sci-fi radio
Ooh,
drama, which is
going
to be podcast. And
where's that? When's that happen?
They've already started, but my particular episode happens in September, and it'll be posted online, so I'll be
All
sharing
right.
it around.
Share
That's
that on
fun.
Facebook. And Skeeter, yeah. what else is coming up for
well,
you?
Well, Profile Theater is going to do a reading of a Kennedy piece called June and Jean, Concert of Our Lives, and I'm going to play June. That's July 18th and 19th.
Oh, it's coming up.
Yeah, and so I'm looking forward to that. And then... Connie Ratner and I, who did Hazardous Beauty for Fertile Ground, Profile is going to show that again in the fall.
Wonderful.
So we're going to get a chance to do that project again, which I'm really excited about.
I didn't get a chance to see it because I was directing at the time, so I'm excited to be able to see it. Yay. When is that happening? Do you have a date?
It's in October. Okay. The date had changed, and so I don't have it, but I will get it to you.
Well, it's been a great conversation. I just want to give a shout out for the dates again for the Tennessee Williams at the Asylum, Monday, July 11th, Tuesday, July 12th, and they're both at 7:30, two different shows, two different chances to see this great work at the Asylum. It's at the Hip Bone Studio, 1847 East Burnside, number 104. It's free. So everybody, take a look, and reservations are recommended, ehdirectact@yahoo.com. I have all of that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. So that's it. Thank you all. James Sweet. Dixon,
thanks
Elizabeth Huffman, Skeeter
Green.
Thank you all for being here today. Mm-hmm. And break legs. That's it for Stage and Studio. You can like us on facebook.com/stageletterandstudio or tweet me at stageletterandstudio. This interview will be podcast at stageandstudio.org and on iTunes. And also, it's available at kbu.fm/stageandstudio. All different ways to hear this interview again. And tell your friends. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going to go out with more music from Benjamin Frankel's score from the 1964 film of Tennessee Williams, The Night of the Iguana.